Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I couldn't wait to get on this show this morning because, my goodness, like we always say, so much is going on out there, and you guys need to be informed. I know some of you are very sad, but when you get on the Dr. Compartino show, things seem to always get better, you know, not before a moment. But, you know, again, we have our most wonderful Colonel Harrison that says he's going to be calling you into the Dr. Compartino show. And I know you want to hear everything that he has to say. I want to hear what he has to say, and I know you do too. But, you know, this is a very special time for us today because, you know, we've had the elections and we've had a lot of entertainment shows. We've had a lot of corporations that have honed in on a lot of people that are very sad. In every sector that we know of, we see people are just taking their lives. They're taking the lives of others, and they don't seem to care, and only because they're very sad. Many are saying, is it worth my time to keep living? I don't even see the point. Well, they're saying, no matter what, you know, I'm sad, I'm scared of all my problems. There seems to be no end to the chaos inside, but somehow they feel there's got to be a way out. I don't know it. That's why I'm here on the Dr. Compartino show, to hear what Death says, good common sense, and, of course, the wisdom that comes from above. We have the privilege of having Dr. William Colonel Harris with us, and he's been on this show for going on 6 months on and off. He's missed a couple, but he has graced our radio show and our radio audience, our radio family, with a lot of understanding that perhaps some of us have missed, because he's always, and I've chimed in with him, always worth anyone's time to keep living. If you're living today, and you might be feeling in the valley of sorrows, you know you have another day of a chance to make things right. You have a chance to go back and get it right. You have a chance to move forward and help someone else get it right. So the Dr. Compartino show is committed to good common sense information. But now you might be on this line listening in, and you might be saying, you know, I've done everything I can do. I'm going to church. I'm going to work. I'm taking care of my family. I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of others. But I just don't feel that it's worth my time to keep living. And so we're going to bring in Colonel Harrison. I see he's come up. He's come aboard. We're going to bring him in as a minister, as a man of God, the Creator, and as a man who has spent almost 40 years in the field of law enforcement. So we both know, wearing those hats, and he's still alive to say anything. Well, you know what? He has something to say. Colonel Harrison, you're on the line.
Good morning, Dr. Compartino. Yes, I'm on the line. Thanks for inviting me again. Good morning to you and your listening audience, Dr. Compartino.
Well, we want to hear from you. Good morning back to you. As I stated earlier, good jobs, no jobs. A lot of people living in big homes, some laying on the sidewalk. A lot of people driving big long cars. Some is not, even able to get on the transit. Excuse me, I think I have a little cold here. But they're all saying the same thing. Big money in the bank, no money. They're all saying the same thing. Sick, well, and walking upright. They're all saying the same thing. They're saying life isn't worth living. Why do you think people are saying that, Colonel Harrison?
Well, they're experiencing, I believe doctors saying it because they're experiencing some bout of depression. And a lot of times when people don't have the necessary sustenance or resources they need to live a comfortable lifestyle, then they experience depression. We all look forward to certain things, you know, roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on the table, and so forth and so on. So when we don't have the basic water, food, shelter, necessities in life, Abraham Maslow, sociologist, psychologist some time ago, many years ago, said that, then we feel lacking, we become depressed, we become withdrawn. And one of the things that I want to say and mention this morning, put on the table, Doc, is there was a concept in law enforcement called Neighborhood Watch. A Neighborhood Watch idea, briefly, was that I being a neighbor, you being a neighbor, we're living in the same neighborhood, we'll look out for each other's property. So when I'm away, I inform you. When you're away, you inform me, and I watch out for your property. That was back in the day before the advent of burglar alarms and Ring and all those electronic mechanisms became popular. We would be nosy neighbors looking out for each other's property. Well, we got to do the same thing using that example. We got to do the same thing when it comes to those who in need. So I wanted to sort of pause and say we got to be mindful we're our brother's keeper. So I'll pause there, Doc.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I remember the neighborhood watch. You know, even the old folk would get together. They sometimes didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they knew if they had a neighbor and their water was cut off, they could get help from their neighbor. They also knew that if they didn't have enough money to feed their family, they had no pride to say, oh, well, you know, that so-and-so is no good. They went to get some help right next door. They didn't have to crawl across town. They didn't have to run across town to beg. The neighborhood watch system was set up. And it was probably known by another name, but right now, it's, I think our neighbors, all of us, see that it's important to be that helping hand right next door, because you never know. People are experiencing a lot of high-profile crime in their neighborhoods, and then when they get on the nationally televised TV through being interviewed, they say, oh, my God, you know, I really didn't know him, but. Oh, my God, you know what? I thought they was doing okay. Oh, okay. I never heard anything over there. I thought everything was okay. So you're living in communities where people don't even know their neighbors except by seeing them get in a car and drive off or come back in a car driving in and get out. That's as far as they know. So truly, everyone suffers. Two is always better than one. So when you have two neighbors that are in collusion with each other, and they, it's not so much that they care, but it's that they're on the lookout for a problem with them, because they know if they have a problem next door, they're going to have a problem themselves. It's only sooner or later. It's not, you know, maybe, and well, I don't know. It's none of that. So we have lost our what we call neighbor contact by turning a deaf eye, deaf ear, deaf anything else, and saying, oh, well, you know what? I got to live my life. They're living their life. I don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be bothered, probably. But, okay, we don't know about the probably, but they're figuring, well, hey, what can I say? I got a life to live. I got my own problems. Your neighbor's problem truly is yours. When someone dies in the community, everyone really is affected, if not but just having your heart skip a beat. You can't have too many of that going on, wondering, well, what happened? Am I going to be next? So we have a lot of people that cannot call on their neighbor, and I really truly believe that there's a few neighborhood watches going on. That should be a topic of conversation for anyone going there. And then after they talk about it, do something about it. That's our problem now. We're mainly, you know, what does the word say? Hears only, but not really following good, cohesive spiritual advice. But now when you talk about life not being worth living, people are also saying, you know, I don't have what I need. I don't have all the things I want. You know, I don't know what happened. But they are not stretching back. You know, there was the old sage that we come into this world just the same, naked with nothing in a knapsack. So that means once we hit the ground out of the womb, running, so to speak, there are some choices that must be made. Colonel Harrison, what choices do you think people could have made and should even make now to make their life worth living? We have choices. This is a choice thing. Either I'm going to go left or right. Can you name a few choices that men and women should be making today so that they can feel that their life is worth living?
One, I'm thinking, Doc, that we have to connect with community-based organizations, community-based centers that can we can give our information and they can give us assistance. So we need to connect with community-based centers because they have resources rather than isolate ourselves. That's one. The other is that You also need to consider connecting with a church that may be in your neighborhood, in your community. There are churches that offer resources and so forth and so on. There's a way to get assistance. While a lot of cities may be overburdened with their social services department and requests and demand, there are community-based centers, there are churches, and those type of entities that people can reach out to tap into before they become destitute, before they are homeless, before they have a need, and before they relapse into a bout of depression. We have to reach out to and tap into other sources within the community and other people that's within the community if the family members are not available to you. So just community centers and churches come off the top of my head. I'm thinking are excellent resources people should communicate and connect with.
Okay, you know what? That sounds very good. And, you know, I'm always kind of, you know, pouring cold water on getting out, checking with the community. The community doesn't have the resources that they might have had 25 years ago. Some are shut down. Some of the centers are shuttered with iron gates. There's no more such a thing as volunteers just walking indoors, sitting down all day, walking home without nothing in their hand, not even so much as a sandwich to eat. So I'm against that. If that was the case right here in L.A., it's 70,000 laying on the streets every night, 70,000 homeless. So there's not enough resources to go around. And then when you talk about a resource, if it's not money, what good is it? So I'm going to have to pour a little bit of cold water on that. People that are feeling that their life is doomed and they're not worth living, they are not going to come out and start speaking. We're back to this same thing again. I think those responsible for man's welfare should be outside the door, going door to door, walking around the community. And you mentioned the church community. They got 50 in there. Give 50 one neighborhood block. Give them a put something on a card and say, I want you here on this sidewalk on Luke and Jonah Street at 10, and I want you in these. I want you 2x2 to go knocking on these doors. See what's going on. If they don't answer it, God has seen. God has shown. So no one could actually be at fault. But now, take for example, Verizon just laid out 10,000. They're laying them off. General Motors said 20. That 20 and 10 is 30. All the Sears is shutting down. Just add another 15,000. So you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people walking around, some of them even now disillusioned, some of them people taking their own life because, you know, they have been there 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know what to do. So here we go again. The people that need to help the most is not going to crawl out of their home trying to go around begging. You know, they're begging for help and some resources. There's such a thing called pride. And I think I'm going to say he's my Lord and Savior. Sent his people out 2x2. He sent them into the home. Go on in there, sit down and eat and hear their story. Bless them. Lay hands on them. He didn't wait for those that were beaten down by the Romans to start coming out, you know, their hiding places. And start begging the Roman legionnaires or the Roman government for anything. It's the same thing here today. America's and the world governments are set up as the governments of old. So I think by the time we expect someone to get up, get some clothes on, if they have any, go walking around trying to find some resources, I think we need to institute something by which these people can get the help they need by people bringing the help to them. If it's nothing more than a prayer, you know, we say prayer changes things. So and I know for myself, I became involved with Jehovah's Witnesses a long time ago. I had a 9-month-old baby, and I was sitting around, and I said, I'm going to kill myself. And I got a lot of pills. I took my baby upstairs, and I got a lot of pills. Just I put them in my hand. And just as I was getting ready to, you know, put these pills up, because I was out of here, you know, I was estranged from my mom, and my dad was going through a second marriage, and I was going to kill myself. I really was. And no sooner had I took the child upstairs and was getting ready to take the pills, I heard a knock, knock, knock. And I was so startled, all the pills ran out of my hand, and I walked over to the door, and I opened it up. It was two men standing there. And one of them said, would you like to learn how to live in paradise on earth? And I just broke down crying. I said, I just tried to kill myself. And so the big tall man told the other one, run, run and get Marge. Run, run and get. So he took off running. And the older man, he didn't step in. He just stepped one foot over the threshold. And he was trying to hold me up. I was really torn up. And the two women came. That started my life almost 30 years as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Even though my dad was, you know, coming into ministry and a lot of things going on there, I spent 30 years at his side and more, and then almost 30 years with Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I would have been dead had I tried to get myself together and try to go get resources. By the time a person decides to take their life, they've already exhausted a lot of things. I'm talking for myself, and then they've already reached out. They've already tried to be friends with the people that should mean the most. They already know about resources. People need people. They don't so much need a resource. And I think this is why Jesus said, go ye therefore. People need people. The resources are fine. $5 in the bank is okay. A handout is okay. You know, some new clothes is okay. But at the end of the day, one plus one equal one on the one end, and two are better than one on the other end. It is what it is. People need people, and people have been, even our government, even our officials, you know, they'd rather open up a place, run down building, hand some resources. What is that? Food for one day, some papers where you can go get the free medical. Well, how many is there? What if I'm too sick to walk? I mean, there's so many variables there, but if a person is met on their own ground, on their own territory, in their own way, without shame, without people knowing really what's going on, if they're, and I'm saying this for myself, if they're met on their ground, you have an issue. And I know I used to knock on the door, and then I step one foot in. Oh, my God, that sofa is beautiful. May I see it? Oh, by the way, I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm here to help you get a new lease on life. You may not want it, but the Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that God alone created heaven and earth. That means you in the pot. I mean, I had my whole script. I had 10 Bible studies going, and when some of the elders had one, and they would call and say, send the lady in all black with those little kids. So I know what it means to feel like, you know, my life isn't worth living. I know exactly. So I'm coming at it from that standpoint. I know what goes on in the mind of a person contemplating suicide. You know, you just don't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to kill myself. This is a series. This is a walk series. I tried this Monday, didn't work. I tried Tuesday, didn't work. I tried to call on Wednesday and get nobody. I tried to go Thursday. Then by Friday, oh, F it. To hell with it. I'm out of here. I know firsthand from being in that shape, not once, but twice. So I think when we talk to people that say, oh, my God, you know, I don't think I can go on. By the time they say that, they're halfway there. So the intervention that they might not feel is going to do any good should come in. And those that wear the clerical cloth, those that wear it, and I've heard some stories this week, prostitution rings not being around the churches. I mean, there's so much going on with that. So to say, you know, I'm going to depend on them, we can't make no mistake about it. He said, go ye therefore. We just can't overskirt that. So, Pastor, are we on the right track talking about people that is on the verge of suicide that say, you know, it's probably not worth my time. Beautiful, gorgeous people. I'm just not talking about people that are amputees or that don't look all the way to together. I'm coming from a standpoint of beauty and honor. I've done all I can here. You know, I'm not happy, so, you know, that's it. I don't think I'm ever going to be happy. But if the ministers get to them people and preach that gospel, they will know that, yes, life is worth living because they got a job to do. He told them this, he said that, you know, so they need teachers to go in there, start from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Some say, oh, well, that's Christian show. Forget you. This is a I need to get some help to the people show. Colonel, can you add anything to what I said?
Yes, Doctor. The outreach by the Jehovah's Witnesses is certainly renowned and profound, and they're because commended for their neighborhood outreach and going door to door. And yes, Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore as the greatest servant of all once said in the Holy Writ. Churches, yes, more churches need to engage in outreach without regard to denomination and fall in the likeness of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Need to reach out to the people in the community, check on them, their welfare, not go to door. You're a classic example. You could save someone's life. The other thing I encourage is that people should go to local churches in their community. They should go to local churches within their community. Knock on the door. Some churches have 24/7 availability, while others have availability one evening weekday, and then, of course, on a Saturday or Sunday when they have their worship service open to the public. But go to those community churches and tell them what your situation is. Cry out to them. Let the pastor, whoever it is, assistant or officer of the church, sexton, whomever, know that you have need. And churches have an humanitarian obligation spiritually to provide assistance, and they will. But we live in a society wherein people got to reach out. And if we can get to them, yes. But in many instances, there are community churches in just about every community. Yes, and I realize there are some cities where churches are closing down. But there are churches that are still open. So go to any church that is still operational and ask for help. And they have an obligation to help you. And I believe, for the grace of God, they will help.
I love that. I love that. But I'm still against someone getting up going into them. These people that have been anointed and commissioned with a mission, those are the ones that are responsible for going out. So with help, once, and I'll go back to me, once the men ran and they came back about 5 minutes later with two women, each of their wives, and they pushed me in and they set me down, and that began what they called a home Bible study. I didn't have to run out anymore. I had eagerly to wait for them. They came every week, and they said people normally study for a year before they become one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, in 3 months, I was ready for baptism. They left the books, and, you know, I read them. By the time they came the next week, they were all read. One of them was the little blue bomb book, they called it, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. That was a little blue book. Everyone back in the day studied with that. Then they came out with the red book, You Can Live in Paradise on Earth. I didn't have to do anything. I eagerly waited for them to come. They told me to stay there, hang in there. They gave me money. The men went on. They went and they said, you got food? I said, yes, but he locks the food up when he leaves. So they went and got me food. And, I could go on. And then every other day they was at that door. They were checking on me. They said, we're just checking on you. Need anything? I said, no. They said, okay, I'll see you Wednesday at 3 for your Bible study. And he didn't know I was studying with them at all. And so to make a long story short, they were there. I eagerly waited. I knew, and it's one thing about them, if they said 2 o'clock on a Friday, they was there 1 minute before that. So that really impressed me because I was that kind of person. And, I guess this is a point for another show. But however, I'm still against people trying to get out, going to these places. I don't want anyone getting out of their home, walking to a church building, and there's iron bars there. They don't put a schedule out anymore. I remember the churches when I stood in front of them with a Watchtower and a Wake magazine. They had a order service, and they had it on the outside on some paper with some plastic covering. So if you needed anything, I guess, and they were true to their word, you could go, and you could stand there and read when they were going to be there, and then try and make it back if you're still alive. I'm a stickler on that because it saved my. I wouldn't be talking right now if they had not have been knocking on that door at that time, and all the pills flew out of my head. I fell off the bed and I raced to the door, and there was them. And I said, "Who is it?" And it was them. And I said, "Oh my God!" And so I told you, I broke down in the man's arms, and he raced and got his wife. So, make a long story short, I'm back to that again. We cannot Watergate down. Watergate as a mixer. We can't Watergate down any decree on our people. That's our problem right now. It's not you and our problem, but many are just
going to these places waiting for them to come to him. Hey, you got to back that thing up. You need to put it in reverse. That is not what he said. And that's a lot of things, issues that are going on in our churches here in L.A. They're saying, you know, they're saying something that really doesn't make any sense. You know, I can wrap my head around some of it, but I'm still here. I'm still this. And a lot of community centers, Google this, they're shut down. There's no money for them. They're putting up infrastructure, but there's no money. Now, L.A. is getting ready to spend billions on building some homes way out there, like Valley in the desert area. They have passed that. But I'm not going to knock them because they're struggling. It's not their job in the first place. The human resource thing all they can give is perishable items. They cannot talk about the news that leads to eternal life. They were not commissioned to do that. They were voted in and elected to do a physical service. But now, on the other end, the superlative ones, those that are commissioned by higher authority to look after his sheep, them is the ones that should be held accountable for a lot of what is going on now. They haven't fed the sheep. They've lied to the sheep. They've tried to put on an entertainment show for the sheep. They've done everything else but feed them. And the only way you're going to feed them, they've got to come out of the word in order for them to chew on that. Because the one called the Christ said, my word, my food leads to eternal life. So here we go again. No wonder we have chaos. And you have a book, Colonel Harrison. I want to talk about that for a moment. Are you going on any book tours? Because the time is right. What is scheduled for that book that you have written? It is surely needed. If not yesterday, it's needed now.
Yes, thank you, Doc. I'm the book tour schedule is being worked on as we speak, and the title of the book, mm-hmm. The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. It talks about all the chaos that's going on now, and it addresses concerns from within the law enforcement community and within neighborhoods and so forth, and how we can better mobilize as citizens and police. But it talks about it from a greater historical perspective, going back to Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King, and what led to civil unrest and how we can avoid it moving forward by mobilizing and respecting each other and being concerned and being our brother's keeper. So it covers a gamut, a multitude of things, and looking forward to visiting various cities soon.
Well, Colonel Harrison, why did you write that book? You're a pastor every week. Very quickly, why did you write the book if you're coming out of the Bible 7 days a week? Why did you feel a need to put something out there like that?
I received a revelation from God that I should write the book based on my 38 years law enforcement experience. And I felt mm-hmm. that the atmosphere in law enforcement was changing. And sure enough, a few months later, the episode of a crisis between citizens and law enforcement, certain communities and so forth, did occur that led to civil disorder, civil disobedience rights, and so forth and so on. So I was led by revelation to write the book, and I did. And it came to pass that those are the things, social things that we're dealing with now. That's part of our concern as it pertains to community safety, public safety, and so forth.
Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. We'll see you guys next week. We always love Colonel Harrison coming on the show. We're going to dedicate next week's show to his book. Please be on. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming into our world through the Dr. Cupertino Show. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, someone is waiting on you and the example of the life you're living. God bless you all. Great weekend. Thank you, Colonel Harrison. See you next week, same time. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Cupertino Show.